allow the praises of the Lord to affect your hearts. And hallelujah. Thank you, everybody, as we continue to enhance the worship here and keep praying for us as we just keep practicing away and allow the Lord to grow us. And thank you for joining us today again. And I have a message here today. Go ahead and get a hold of your Bibles. Turn over to Luke chapter 19. And while you're doing that, just a little understanding of what our goals here. Pastor Freedom and I at Countryside really want you to know that what we're doing here at Countryside is to affect us in worship for the glory of God. And so when we meet here together regularly, it's really a necessary privilege for the body of Christ. Necessary because we have to and we're commanded to, and getting out of the world into an experience with Jesus is quite needed, but privilege because not everybody can come here and worship in spirit and truth. So if you're able to do that, you're privileged in a way that many, many people don't understand. And it should grip our hearts. Because going to hell is nothing short of the worst of everything this world has to offer. And so we want to keep on worshiping our God and sharing our faith. And I want us to understand why we do what we do. You see, the New Covenant Church, in my understanding of Scripture, contains about five aspects of worship with a couple add-ons. This is why we do what we're doing. Prayer, singing, giving. Giving's a worship. It's not something you have to do. It's your worshiping. Communion and the Word. So prayer, singing, giving, communion, and the Word. You can add fasting to prayer. That's, again, another part. And then also with understanding to communion, our fellowship dinners that we have. So not just the remembering of the body and blood through the bread and the cup, but also fellowshipping. They met every day in the first century church and supped together. And so in those 5 to 7 aspects of our service, my hope is to encourage you in joyful, exuberant worship. We should have that in our skip in our step, and we're here because God has touched me, or I'm hoping to get a touch of God. But also, I want us to understand the tender, reverent, heart-affected understanding of God's holiness. And so though the joy is happening, sometimes tears of perfect, absolute holiness and our hearts being affected. And that's what's going on here at the triumphal entry of our Lord this week, which we tend some call Passion Week. It's the story of his last days here. It's bittersweet and joyful at the same time. And so we understand that there's a lot of hope here, a lot of dreams, and a lot of heartaches here. And so let's get into our scriptures, and I want us to maybe pull out an understanding of what's going on. Luke 19, chapter 19, verse 28. It says here, when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in your day, these things that make for your peace, But now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you and to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Father God, I give to you the service. The words that come forth here are all for the glory of you and your Son. Holy Spirit, have your way. Affect each person up and down the aisles here. Let hearts be rent and the joy of who you are be fulfilled in our hearts by your Spirit. So we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There you go. All right. I want to talk a little bit about broken dreams today. Broken dreams. In our hearts, we as human beings, we all dream. From young to the old, we all have hopes of what will be or what we think will bring happiness or some kind of contentment to our lives. And really, dreams start with youthful thoughts. We start early in life, and how priceless fantasies of princess grandeur or heroic accomplishments, from astronauts to musicians to ball players to firemen to doctors. The options seem limitless when we're young, and we go through our schooling years with the naive hopes of all that life can be, and we start our careers with a vision of success. By 40, I will be such and such. Man, that used to seem so far away. 40, what happened, right? Oh, you young ones, you'll figure that out. Don't blink. Marriages started on the hopes of happily ever after ideals. After all, it's what our cultural media spends billions on trying to sell us products to achieve, right? But are we buying their products, or is the Lord supplying our needs? But then the day turns to months, and months to years, and for some here now, decades. And so the dreams begin to fade off, and we find so much of our time spent picking up the broken pieces of those dreams. And please follow along with me. I'm not going down and bringing us down. There's a point I got here, and I got to have your hearts affected. See, the truth is, most here, the broken dreams aren't a stranger to you. A career cut short by a economic downturn at the peak of my earning potential, a marriage or a family divided by one member who decides to take a left turn instead of straight. But what about the people here in this first century account? What about these people? Any broken dreams you see here? I guarantee you there were many big dreamers. On the edge of that Mount of Olives, he went through the brook of the Valley of Kidron and went back up another mount. So as they're coming down is the scene, and the parade route is festive, dancing, singing, palm branches, waving, clothes, laying, all for a king. You know, you and I were in that crowd. You and I were in that crowd. Of course, we all love a parade. In fact, one of my girls is born on the 4th of July. But remember what I said earlier. First, I encourage the joyful expression of worship, the parade atmosphere going on. The king has come. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he! Hosanna means save now! It was a big party, and Middle Eastern style, that party had a lot of exuberance, loud, animated. But all that was, but a lot hinges on that word. But all that was really a sham. Our Lord knew it was a sham. And in a matter of days, we would all be gone. And the cheers that were for him would turn to jeers toward him. But for us, let's look at 19 right now and see the understanding of Luke. He says that as he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem, he has a mission. And I'm guessing he was celebrating also. See, people don't celebrate someone. He's not being celebrated if he's crying right there. So there was some probably smiles on his face. Please come with me on this journey. I hope you're here with me. About 33 AD. And so I'm sure that they wouldn't be celebrating him if he wasn't receptive. See, even the Pharisees sense that when they say to him, rebuke them. Rebuke them. What are you doing receiving that? But no rebuke would come. You see, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. And so we read these words then in verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. He's weeping. Amid all the hoopla, maybe he got to the end of the parade route. Maybe most of what was dancing, enjoying it behind him. And he's weeping. Yes, there was a broken dream among this crowd. Follow me, please. You see, Jesus for over 3 years had proclaimed the kingdom of God to these people. But they didn't get it. They weren't celebrating because of him, but because of what they could get from him. Remember you and I in the crowd. See, he knew their hearts. And they weren't wanting a suffering servant. They wanted a conquering king. And so in 42 he goes on. If you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, but because you didn't know your time of visitation. Man. He's crying, he's weeping, he's judging. But what about the crowd? They thought they were getting what they wanted. But it wasn't to be. The Roman oppression wasn't to be gone. They only had eyes for the physical, the horizontal, the temporal, not the spiritual, the eternal, the vertical. And that was realized a few days later when the crowds faded and the cheers became jeers. And you see, we made him a king, all right. We put a crown of thorns on his head and shoved it in his forehead. And we mocked him with sarcastic salutes. And we laughed at him. And we beat him. And we spit on him. And we stripped him and put a robe on him. I said, are you king of the Jews? What a joke. But his kingdom wasn't of this world. He was a king, all right. His king was a kingdom of the heart. So on that road into Jerusalem, he knew how fickle they all were. He knew what was going on. He knew they had some intentions, and he wept. So in this encounter with humanity, the divine is teaching us some things about broken dreams. What a master teacher he is. What do we do when our dreams fall apart? How do we pick up the broken pieces and dare to dream again? You know you can dream again, loved one. Some of you young ones aren't there yet. This may be some notes you need to take somewhere in your future. You will be able to dream again. So let's look and learn what the Lord is teaching us about broken dreams. First, broken dreams can hurt. Broken dreams can hurt. I think I made the point pretty clear. Verse 41 there. Here he is. He draws near in the city and he weeps over it. And this weeping wasn't the weeping of a silent cry. That's what he did when Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus wept, 11:35 of John. That's a silent weep. He knew what he was going to do. This word is a complete loss of composure. It's loud sobs indicating pain and deep grief. The same sobbing that was used the word for Peter when he, hours in the future, would deny this very Jesus. And he, scripture says in Luke 22:62, he wept bitterly. That's the kind you saw and heard from a block away. Broken dreams hurt. But what dreams, Jesus? What are you weeping for? Well, remember the Lord healing their sick? Remember feeding the hungry, 5,000 here, 4,000 there? Giving hope to the hopeless and the despairing. But he failed to win their hearts. Jesus, you failed? They wanted him for what they could get from him. And so we find the lowly Jesus on the back of a donkey in tears. And the one who spoke and the universe came into existence, who took his light and obliterated darkness, meeting closed doors of the human hearts that he came to save. And it hurt. Remember, this is a perfect picture of Jesus, everyone. What I call absolute divinity dwelling in humanity. 100% God, 100% man, rent by what he is dealing with. And do you hear that? You with broken dreams, you have hope, even though it hurts right now. Look at him in your eyes. Look at him right now. He cares about you. He knows where you've been. He embraces you and says, I understand. I know this feeling. And he says, it's okay to feel. It's okay to cry. And it's okay to reach out to him. Me, Jesus says, for healing. Truth is, broken dreams don't hurt if they're not really serious dreams. If a dream's not important, it doesn't hurt. So the ones that do hurt had some value. And the world says, be strong. Come on, get yourself up by the bootstraps. But God's word says, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, it's okay to cry because we can be weak. True strength comes through weakness. You read that. Let your pride go, loved one. Let the hurt take its place. Let your broken dreams take the course that enable you to dream again and not embitter you to become dislocated and despairing. We're going to hinge here now. Jesus didn't cry forever, amen? Jesus wasn't crying forever. Once you allow the process of hurt to complete, you can find that broken dreams, make note of it, can heal. They can heal. Look here as he cries out to Jerusalem. He's given them judgment, but healing is coming. Head over to Luke 22 as you see him now move from that judgment, knowing healing is coming, and we find him in the garden. In Luke 22:42-43, it says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Underline those words. Strengthening him. He's healing. He entered the garden broken, hurt, understanding where he was going, what was going on. And he left there strengthened. He faced off with the greatest challenges of his ministry. He let the Father take control of the people. He knew the cross was ahead of him. Loved one, that wasn't the reason he wept tears of blood. He wept tears of blood because for the first time in all of eternity past, he would be separated from his Father because of sin. Your sin. My sin. That pride that just you'd had to deal with in your own way would separate the one true God from his Son. and he couldn't deal with it without sweating blood. That was the true victory in the garden. He knew the cross was ahead of him. He was a manly man. He could handle that no problem. It's the separation that took him down. And the tears became blood as he suffered this conquest of the separation. But Jesus shows us the greatest remedy of our broken dreams is what? What's going on here? What did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. It's surrender, loved ones. It's surrender. You came to Jesus in a death mode. And he called you to die. I'm not giving you the fake gospel. Come and make your life better. Come and die, and he will raise you up new. Amen? That's what the gospel's all about. And so the Lord allows some instance in your life, and you come to this understanding that I want Jesus to make my life better, but the path doesn't go the way I want to, and I end up checking out. I don't like that church anymore. I don't like this God anymore. I'm out of here. But no, the Lord teaches clearly it's surrender at that time. That's the point. He's breaking you to another level. And that's what I want for each of you. I come up here a broken man many times over. In my foolishness, shattered for my own self, my fault. But he's raised me up every time when repentance is granted. Loved ones, get on your knees and cry out, not my will, yours be done. And broken dreams that hurt become broken dreams that heal. And you're on the upslope now. The real attitude is revealed by the answer you give to your challenge in life and your trial. And it's okay if you failed. You get back up again and he's going to give you another one. And this time you're going to know what to do. So healing can come. And the point of healing, next one, is so you can help. Because really, loved ones, the point of broken dreams is so you can help others. That's what it's all about. Turn over to 24, chapter of Luke, 44 through 45. Let's go ahead and read this. 24 of Luke, 44. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you. He's on the road to Emmaus. He's risen. He comes to his disciples. He's telling them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened the scriptures, open their understanding that they might understand them. Loved ones, you can dream again. You with the broken dream that's been in the pits for a long time, get up in the strength of Jesus and walk again in the newness of the hope of the mercy of God. It is him who will grant it to you. You could tell your neighbor, they need it. By the time I'm talking this long, you're probably checking out. Tell your neighbor, you can dream again. Tell them, they need to hear that. You can dream again. Through the hurt, we heal so that we can help others. And the Lord came back to bring the help the disciples needed. They went from forsaking and fleeing to proclaiming and propagating, praising the word. What a difference! What a difference commitment happens to go as you go down through the waters, come back up a new creation, and you give hope to others. Scriptures say that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Jesus is teaching us that the promise of his presence is going to be the healing factor that we can use than to go to the hurting world. Teaching us that brighter days are coming. The sun will be up on the horizon tomorrow for you, loved one. And our Savior shows us how to face it with courage. So for all of you, here, as I close, please take this home with you today. Wherever you're at in this process, be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you are. God has a plan for you. Don't look to your neighbor and wish you had their plan. He's got your plan laid out. And just because you have broken dreams, don't quit. These can actually help you and bless others. The good news is you could dream again. And after the Palm Sunday parade, who would have thought the honoree would be crucified? What a shock! not more shocking than that crucified honoree was going to rise 3 days later, the shocking truth of his power and might. And who would have thought all of this because of a broken dream? So he tells us here and asks us here, where do you start dreaming again? And I say the same place where he showed us, on your knees, not my will, but yours be done. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, God. Lord, I hope these hearts here have leapt as the truth of God's word goes forth and rends us soft to receive the truth of what you want to do in our lives. God, have your victory here in each family, in each heart, in each person, and take those hurtful dreams, heal them, and send them forth to help your kingdom grow. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.